And now, Don Blackwell.
On last week's program, we began a study of the Ten Commandments. And we talked about the fact that the Ten Commandments are not binding on men today. And our first point dealt with the reasons why the Ten Commandments are not binding on us. And we noticed several subpoints, one being that the Ten Commandments were given specifically to the nation of Israel, not to us. And so they're not bound on us today. A second reason that we noticed was that the Ten Commandments were a part of the Old Law. And the Bible teaches the Old Law has been done away. We also observe the fact that it is specifically stated that the Ten Commandments have been done away. Our second major point dealt with the consequences of binding the Ten Commandments. One such consequence would be that if the Ten Commandments are bound on men today, then the Sabbath day is bound on men today. The fourth of the Ten Commandments said to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the Bible says, 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Notice the Sabbath day is described as being the seventh day. The Lord said, in it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10. Now, friends, consider that. If we're going to bind the Ten Commandments today, then there is to be no work done on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. And the penalty for violating the Sabbath day was that of death. Exodus 31, 12 through 16. We see this carried out. In Numbers chapter 15, we read about a man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. That is, he was working. He violated it. And as a punishment, he was executed. He was put to death. Now, friends, if the Ten Commandments are still binding on us today, who's going to enforce this portion of the law in relation to the Sabbath day and its punishment for violation of it? Friends, we need to understand the Sabbath day is not binding on us today because it's part of the old law. And the Sabbath day is not Sunday for Christians, as is commonly taught in the religious world. Exodus 20 and verse 10 that we just read teaches that the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. That was part of the old law. It was to be kept that way, and that has never been changed under the New Testament. In addition to that, according to the Sabbath day requirements, a fire could not even be kindled on that day. Exodus 35 and 3. That would mean that a woman could not even turn on her gas range to cook breakfast or to prepare lunch. A man could not even turn on a gas furnace on a hot, cold, on a cold Saturday afternoon. But friends, it wasn't just the violation of the Sabbath that carried the death penalty. I want you to notice some of the other commandments that also carried the death penalty with them. Commandments 1 and 2 dealt with idolatry. Idolatry called for capital punishment. Deuteronomy 13, 6 through 11. The third commandment dealt with taking the Lord's name in vain. It called for capital punishment. Leviticus 24, verses 10 through 15. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath day violators were punished by death. Commandment number 5, honoring and obeying parents. Those who violated this and dishonored and disobeyed parents could be punished also, were to be punished with capital punishment. Exodus 21 and 17, Leviticus 20 and verse 9. Commandment number 6 deals with murder. It was punishable by death. Number 7, adultery, punishable by death, Leviticus 20 and verse 10. And friends, incidentally, homosexuality also demanded this under the old law, Leviticus 20 and verse 13. Commandments number 8 and 10 dealt with theft and coveting. And you remember that Achan in Joshua chapter 7 coveted, he stole, and he was executed as a result. Well, I think the point is made. But I want to ask you the question, who is going to follow through and keep this part of the law that is connected with the Ten Commandments? Who's going to carry out the death penalty for its violators? Friends, if the Ten Commandments are binding on us today, then the Sabbath day is bound, and so are its penalties. But also, I want you to notice this, if the Sabbath day is bound and the Ten Commandments are bound, then the whole law is bound. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3 The Apostle Paul lays down a principle for us, and it is this. Acceptance of one part of the law of Moses, such as circumcision, which is what he was talking about in those circumstances and in that setting, acceptance of one part of the law of Moses demanded the keeping of all of it. He wrote, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." And so, to bind the Ten Commandments is to bind the entire law of Moses. And friends, who's ready to reenact animal sacrifices and all of the other aspects of the old law? A third implication of the Ten Commandments being bound today would be that there would be more than one lawgiver. Friends, if the Ten Commandments are still binding on you and I today, then Moses is still a lawgiver. And if Christ's law is binding on us today, then he is a lawgiver. That would make us under two lawgivers, and thus married both to Moses and to the Messiah. But friends, James 4 and 12 teaches there is one lawgiver, and Romans 7 and 4 teaches that we are married to Christ only, or else we are committing spiritual adultery. Today we live under the law of Christ, not the Ten Commandments. Today we live under a better covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 and 6 says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." But some people argue with this. Sometimes when it's pointed out that we do not live under the Ten Commandments today, people will make an argument that goes something like this. They will say, "Then you are saying that we can worship idols and that we can profane the Lord's name and that we can dishonor parents and murder and commit adultery." But friends, that's not the logical or scriptural conclusion of that. Do people know so little about the Bible that they think the Ten Commandments is the only source of moral authority? The Bible does not teach that these things are acceptable for men today, but it's not because the law of Moses forbade them. It's not because the Ten Commandments forbade them. Friends, it's because the law of Christ forbids them. The law of Christ teaches and binds these things on us today. And as a matter of fact, 9 out of the Ten Commandments are repeated in some form in the New Testament, the law under which we now live. Commandments 1 and 2 prohibited having any other gods and refraining from idolatry. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus commanded worship and service to God only. Acts 10, 25 and 26, Peter forbade a man to worship him. Colossians 2 and 18 and Revelation 19 and 10, angel worship is prohibited. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 and Galatians 5 and 20, Paul forbade idolatry. And so we worship God only and we refrain from idolatry, but not because Moses taught it, but because Christ did. Commandment number 3 forbade taking the Lord's name in vain. We read in the New Testament in Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus taught that God's name was to be hallowed. Ephesians 4 and 29 and Colossians 4 and 6 teach against the wrong kind of language. And so we respect the name of God, not because of what Moses said, but because of what our lawgiver said in the New Testament. Commandment 4 commands the keeping of the Sabbath day. Saturday was to be a day of rest and reverence. It was a sign between God and Israel. It's not found in the law of Christ. It's not found in the New Testament. And so we don't teach it. Commandment 5 taught respect and honor for parents. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." And so we teach it. Not because the law of Christ did, not because the law of Moses did, but because the law of Christ does. Commandments 6 through 10 were laws against murder, adultery, theft, lying, bearing false witness, and covetousness. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke against murder and adultery. Romans 13 and verse 9, Paul wrote, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Friends, we could give many other examples. And so we are not free to commit these evils, but it's not because Moses or the Ten Commandments said so. It's because Christ and the law that we live under today says it. Friends, we do not live under the Ten Commandments today. They were given to Israel, not to us. They are part of the old law, which has been done away, and no one is ready to accept the consequences of if they were binding on us today. Today we live under a new covenant, a better covenant, with better promises, and it's the only one under which a man today can have any hope. Friends, that covenant is the gospel of Christ, and it teaches that if a man will be saved eternally, he must hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 14. And upon hearing it, he must believe it. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." In fact, in John 8 and 24, Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins." The covenant that we live under is the gospel of Christ. It teaches that a man must hear the gospel. He must believe it, and then he must repent of his sins. In Luke 13 and 3, Jesus said, "I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Acts 17 and verse 30 says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." But then a man must confess his faith in Christ, as did the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and 37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Once a man has heard the gospel, believed it, repented of his sins, confessed his faith in Christ, he's ready to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, immersed into water to contact the blood of Christ and to be added to the Lord's church. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, "The like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God."